Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. What do you think about this? You know, we were speaking about, you know, what's happening with the original tent and getting back and passing that cost alone to us, you know, and it's already started already with a happy bill. You know, we can change things. We can pray about who we're going to be supporting, why we're going to be supporting them, and how to sustain our country, how we're going to be able to make this, you know, and pass this alone. And we can do it and pass it on to our children by maintaining the original tent of our country. I encourage you to get the a little pocket version of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and carry it with you. And when you have time, just read it. Just read little bits and pieces of it and go back to the VFN Torch to be able to hear the segments that we've done. It's called Original Ten about the Nation. And you just want to know what you actually stand for. Constitution is what holds us all together and this country together. And then that acknowledges God that holds us together as a people and as a person. You know, we talked about yesterday. We began a conversation about the original tent of the church. And in that, we have so much to say about that because, you know, God took us on a journey of trying rediscovering. I think about Josiah. You know, King Josiah was a young king. And in that, they were digging out the old place where they used to worship God. You know, and there's a place in your heart right now as you're listening. There was a place that you used to go and you'd worship God. It was just you and God. It was such an awesome place. And, but in the natural sense at that time, they were the place that the temple where they had went to worship God at the tabernacle, it was just filled with all kinds of stuff. You know, it's like, we're not using that anymore. Let's just go ahead and put entertainment there. No, let's go ahead and put, you know, stuff. And all of a sudden they just begin to just whatever they stored stuff in the temple. And with that, he decided to go and have it cleaned out and start cleaning. When they were digging through the temple, they found the Word of God. They found the Word of God. And in that, he realized when they were reading it, that it's like, we're not doing this.
Oh, wow.
We're not doing this. And the Word says, if we do this, then God will protect us. God will bless us, and why aren't we doing this? But he's king.
Right.
So he says, we're going to do this.
Right.
The same thing Jehoshaphat did, the very same thing, and King Jehoshaphat. But anyway, so they begin to say, hey, what does it say? How do you do this, and how do you do that? Okay, that's how God wants us to do it. I want to send teachers out. I want to tell everybody, and this is what we got to do. We got to rediscover the original intent of God. For us, you know, and you may have a lot of things as know ye not, you're the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you, you know, which means you can't go clean a building out and think your life's going to change. You're going to have to clean your heart out and your life's going to change. You know, if you want to get the world together, you got to get the man together. It's you, you know, and so we've got to begin to find out what is God's original intent for me. What is the manual that he gave me to be able to operate my life? Right. And so we begin to just dive into the Word and abide with God. You know, John 15, Jesus tells us that you can do nothing outside of abiding with him. And so the core of what we've done and what we did for years trying to get people to do, you know, that now we came up with a simple plan to help you begin abiding with God. I mean, it's, believe it or not, something that was you were called to do. Now you have to be taught to do it because so many people have been trying to do it, do what you can only do. They've been trying to tell you that I can do it for you, what you can only do for yourself. Listen, you stand alone before God. You stand alone before God. And in that, you're going to have to answer to God. You're going to have to answer for the very fact of your life and what you did with it, what you did with your operator's manual. You know, what are you doing with God's word? And so with that, you know, Josiah saw it. He goes, man, I want to do it. And that's what we're doing. We begin to just find out, what is God, what do you want, Lord? You know, what do you want from us? What is the church supposed to be like? Mm-hmm. And then we begin to read about the book of Acts, you know, about the acts of the church. It's called Acts because it's what the church acts like. You know, these are things, you're right, we're supposed to be like that. So when you read Acts, it should be an autobiography of your life as a believer. It should, it's not something that happens when an evangelist blows in, blows up, and blows out. You know, it's supposed to be your life, you know, mm-hmm. to set you on fire for God, the things of God. And one thing they talk about in the book of Acts, when you read it, you got to change your mindset and don't read it as a history book, but read it as an operation manual. Read it as, this is how my life's supposed to be if I declare that the Lord is my Lord and that he dwells with me. And I'm going to abide with him until he tells me what I need to do, until that's happening in my life.
Right.
And the thing that sets us apart as God's people is his presence. It's his presence that sets us apart. It's his presence that sets us apart. And knowing that if his presence is not with you, first of all, you know, what are you doing? You know, as a believer, you want his presence. That's what you're designed for. You're designed for the presence of God. That's your reward, is God hanging out with you. That's what Adam and Eve lost in the garden and lost for us in the garden. But that's what we got back through Jesus Christ when they went into the upper room waiting for the church to be birthed. And it got birthed with an explosion, what they call Pentecost. When Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit down while they were gathered, 120, mind you, at that point of Jesus' ministry after 3 years, were gathered together in the upper room, and all of a sudden with an explosion, bam, you know, with a fire, you know, almost like tongues of fire on people's heads, the church exploded. And no matter what people tell you, that is the freshest expression of the church. I mean, that is, how could that be wrong? If that's exact, if God was telling, like, this is day one, A, B, C, D, right. E, this mm-hmm. is the basics.
The birthing.
I mean, the power of God. And all of a sudden, people began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, and people were understanding in their own language what was going on. I mean, people were getting saved. Peter was preaching Jesus and him crucified and saying, you need to repent and be baptized, and thousands were being saved. And all of a sudden, they were gathering in their homes all over the place, eating together, praising God, dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. People feared coming amongst them.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. God added to their number daily those being saved. I mean, right. People are supposed to fear coming amongst you if you're the church and they're not the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But you're advertising to bring in people that don't even know Jesus, and they're going to dine on the sheep.
Mm. Wow.
D-I-N-E, dine on the sheep. I mean, Paul warned day and night, that wolves would come in amongst you, come in amongst your number. And it, with tears, he said, he warned, he never stopped warning them. And us as shepherds, I want to encourage the shepherards, and also the sheep, listen, you know, the church is not a building or a place, it's you, the body of Christ, so nobody can join you unless they're part of a church, unless they're a believer.
That's
right. Then God dwells in them, and when he dwells in you and in him, then they're the church, and you just recognize that they are the church. You recognize mm-hmm. that they're part of the body of Christ. And then you fellowship with the Lord and with each other. So understanding that it's we've entered into some strange, we've adopted men's philosophies and ideas and that say, you know, we need to bring marketing in. We need to market mm-hmm. Jesus. We need to market. If we can get some people, you know, together in our crowd right here. And listen, I mean, you know, a person who, I mean, Charles, what is the, Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson can get a crowd.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know where Marilyn Manson is today, but he can get a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just, I can name people all day long who can get a crowd. The question is that crowd the body of Christ?
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. and so the first thing we started finding out is that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about Jesus, but they don't want to know Jesus.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so
that's right.
Then you have to say, okay, cool, I'll honor that decision, because Jesus said in Luke 10, this is how you do it. You tell them about Jesus, the real Jesus, not the other Jesus. You know, and there's like a lot of different, you know. Yeah, do you like iPhone covers? Do you want this iPhone cover? You want the iPhone cover? How about this one, you know? Mm. And do you want this Jesus or that Jesus or another? There's only one Jesus.
There's only one.
And Paul said, if anybody preaches you to another Jesus, you know, that they're of the devil.
Right.
False apostles. And so we began to say, wow, you know. And so we began, and we did a lot of studies about it. And it started, by the way, we just responded to the voice of God. I mean, God spoke to us very specifically. He began to make us very uncomfortable in our present condition. And he spoke to me and began to just literally, I got just sick of men's philosophies and I just couldn't. It was just repulsive to me. And it's what God did. God was doing something. And it's like, you know, one more riddle, one more rhyme, or you're going to drive me out of my mind, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, you know, that it was just, I couldn't get close to religion.
Right.
You know, it just, I could not do it without literally thinking I was going to wolf my cookies. And so I just go, you know, what meanest thou this? Like Mary did, you know, when she, what meanest thou this, God? So I've been again to seek the Lord. I told nobody about it. And I remember the next thing was that, without any details in the context of that, but I know that God began to deal with you, Pat, right?
Sure did.
What happened?
Yeah. I was just sitting there one morning and, just felt really, really anxious. Just I could not sit still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just something all over me. I felt like my heart was just going to explode in my chest. And I eventually had to get up, walk out, and make a phone call and say, what's up?
Right, right, right.
You know?
And so that was huge, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you where I was.
Nope,
I was still thinking, you know, what meanest thou this? You know, I'm trying to,
right.
You know, what is God saying? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Chris...
Yeah,
you know, Chris as well. He, you know, he's not here to be able to talk, but he, all of a sudden, one day, you know, in a religious setting, his ears started ringing so loud that he could not. It was like this bell sound, this ringing in his ears, and it was supposed to be a good thing that was going on, but he couldn't. It was just a tingling cymbal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a ringing in his ear, and so he didn't know what was going on because nobody talked to him, and so he picks up the phone and he calls. I guess he called you, right? He called.
Yeah, actually, I called him, and then he told me what happened.
Oh, that was happening, and so, and John, I mean,
yeah, I had my own experience. I mean, it wasn't. God had been dealing with me for a while and speaking to me, and I had that same thing in my spirit where I was just like, right. God, what is up? You know, I, this is not about entertainment. You know, this isn't coming after you, you know, seeking you, God. It's not about two songs and stopping. I mean,
right.
It's about experiencing you. It's about the presence. It's not about watching our time and our clocks. It's about there has to be more.
Mm-hmm.
And in seeking the Lord, he showed me, you know, he showed us. And I'm grateful that he did.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, God's called us to himself. I mean, he wants to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not satisfied with you only having a relationship with someone else. He wants you to know him. And God begins to do a new thing when he does a new thing. And so the Lord just really spoke to us as we got together trying to figure out what God's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he's sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
His heart's broken over it.
Right.
It's nothing but a ringing bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time to follow God. It's just time to follow him. You know, no more, just don't do one more thing of men's philosophies, you know, and how can you add to God anyway? When you think about it, how can you add to him? But we had to revisit that because, you know, you thought you needed a $1.5 million budget. You got to do that because George Barna statistics say that it takes $1.3 million to baptize one believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. I mean, you just don't need $1.5 million. You need two big screen TVs. You need...
Right.
You know, all this other stuff with it. And it's like, really?
Right.
Really? My question is, why don't we export the gospel, you know, that we have here that we see
you bring up a good point,
in the
traditional
religion?
You bring up a good point because if you leave America, you'll find out America, most of the church, it's not in America, by the way, does not look like the American church. You know, it looks like the book of Acts. You know, when I was in Israel, as minister in Israel, you know, I was going from house to house in Israel. And these are the business leaders. These are the ones that everybody talks about in America, for example. And they go, you know, I was just speaking to the, you know, minister so-and-so and, you know, in Tel Aviv or, you know, it's like, yeah, but he doesn't meet in the same way you meet. He actually meets a different way. And you talk highly of the way, I mean, he's God's meeting with them. You know, Yeshua is in their presence, mm-hmm. and they're weeping and oh, just powerful.
Isn't that all that matters?
It's all about Jesus, man.
In the midst,
mm-hmm. it's all.
If
about,
we're coming for any other reason, mm-hmm. any other thing that's appealing to our flesh or to right. what we like, and God's not there, I'm greatly concerned.
Right.
You know, the question we got to ask ourselves is: God enough? Is God in our midst enough? And that's yes, He is.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that we make available today, Desperate for Your Glory. It's totally ready to go up, an audio of that on VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure we get that today. That's where we have to be, because you know what God is saying. You know, is where's the glory? Where's the glory? We should be saying, every one of us should be saying, you know, where is the glory? You know,
you're
where
trying.
Is the glory? Which means the presence of God. Remember, Moses comes down out of the mountains, and his face had so much glory on it. He had to cover his face with a veil. We should be glowing with the glory of God. And understand this, that you can get familiar with God. You know, that God's with you, but you just start taking it for him for granted and his presence for granted. And other people are still reacting to the glory of God on your life, but you don't even know what's happening. And you start accrediting it to yourself.
That's
and thinking
right.
you're the one that's doing that instead of God's presence doing that. And all of a sudden his glory departs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, Eli.
Right.
You know, Eli... he just did his own thing. He did his
That's
own
right.
thing. And because of that, you know, with God's things, and mm-hmm. the glory departed. And he has a son, and his son was named, and his sons died, Eli died, and Ichabod, Ichabod's mother, his grandson's mother died, and the name Ichabod, which means the glory's departed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, in the church that we don't look, a lot of the church doesn't look any different than the world. You don't know if you're in a business board meeting or the Father's business
That's
meeting.
Right.
It's kind of like the same thing, you know. The politics are like integrated, you know, in the context of that. So anyway, we started thinking, you know, experimenting and studying those that have gone before us and reading. And we just kind of went, said, everybody go seek God. Everybody
right.
that God was hearing, just like we didn't jump on anything. It's like, go seek God and let's see what he's saying. And eventually, after... seeking the Lord, and God was really in. God is really in. By the way, God is really into his kingdom, and he began right away. It was amazing. I mean, right away, you know, people that we had never met before began coming over, and they're wanting to know the wisdom of God, and they're wanting to know things. It's like, it's just, I realized at that point, you know, being foundational that we had to really begin to work in a hurry and learn what God was doing, like Josiah did, and go back and read the word like David did when he found out that his best men died when he tried to be able to bring the glory in.
Mm-hmm.
This is very dangerous. The Father's business, although awesome, mm-hmm. is very dangerous if you don't do it properly and
That's
honor
right.
God in it. And so with that, a prophetic word came to me that the Lord laid on my heart. Through that sheets is where I got the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the Lord's going to, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the church is going to use for the next 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately at that point, you know, we realized those that were being heard from the voice of the Lord, only those that heard from God's voice, we got together and then we needed to become what we were going to reproduce.
That's right.
So we took 3 years to be able just to learn. We went through a lot of learning curves and seeing, oh, this is God, that's not God. And we studied those that have gone before us. And it was like, I think a big move came of prophets prophesying, you know, what needed to happen. But mm-hmm. without the apostles coming in, it kind of looks chaotic and it looks mm-hmm. kind of confusing. It's not that the prophets weren't doing the right thing. It was just that then the apostle kind of has to come in and start bringing some foundational order to that and how to work together, apostles and prophets working together. And then because, you know, my heart, when I saw a lot of things happening in what, you know, people may call it a micro church, or they may call it home church or home church network or church in the home, it depends what it is,
mm-hmm.
that it's all the same. No matter where you are as a church, there is no different procedure. There is no
right.
a way of God, whether you're in a building, whether you're in a coffee shop, the church has one way of doing it, and it's in the Bible. And when you work your way away from that, you've left the ways of God. And so if you're in a building, it's church in a building.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a coffee shop, it's church in the coffee shop. They're in the coffee shop. If it's in if the church is in the house, it's church in the house. It's not house church. The church is in the house.
Right.
That makes
right.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's supposed to be different in regards to what God requires of us and expects of us to be able to do that. And then, you know, so those things that we saw and we studied, this beautiful sacrifices and things that people did to be able to get to this point, you know, I think about, you know, Mega Chef and Jim Rutz's book. I think about, I don't have that on me, I don't think right here. Just those that have gone before us. And I noticed that many people would just, they didn't have this this continual care or responsibility, it seemed, for what happened to God's people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that has always been on my heart. You know, what's going to happen? You know, yeah, I can do this, but can the church at large do this? Can this be reproduced? This husband and wife can have a son or a daughter, but can that son and daughter be a mother and father, and can they do the same thing? I mean, that's the whole thing about progression mm-hmm. and the Lord. And so as it began to teach us, and my concern was, because you're going to be held accountable for what you're doing and what you're reproducing, and how to have apostolic oversight and how to recognize apostles in the body of Christ all over that God has in their heart and stirring to build foundation for what he's doing in this day, because it's the apostle that's going to, God's going to give that apostle and a strategy to reach the next generation.
No, right.
It's kind of like history. You can study history that previous moves of God or apostles of previous works will be just shocked mm-hmm. that God's doing a new thing, and they tend to fight against the new thing. But I think the purpose of that is to keep separation from the old and new. You know, God's not concerned about your feelings and how you feel, but he's concerned about his kingdom. And if you tie the two together, and that's what everybody thinks it's supposed to be like, if you tie the two together, then you're going to destroy them both.
Mm-hmm.
But you can honor what was while you're doing what is. You know, you can do both, honor that. And so with that, you know, we begin to just say, you know, the order has to be brought. And so God began to reveal a pattern to us over this 3-year period that we're following today in churches around the world. And we're just getting started, as a matter of fact, you know, there's so many things that we're going to fill. God's shown us stadiums being filled with the church. You know what I'm saying? It's church in the stadium. The stadium is not a church, but it's church in the stadium. And imagine this. Imagine the Georgia Dome, totally filled with abiding believers, people that hear God's voice, who follow him, who spend time with him, and every one of them truly does have an indivisible relationship with Jesus Christ. And that roar coming out of the stadium, just bellowing out for our return, Lord's return, it's like the spirit of Elijah calling for the return of the Lord, preparing the way of the Father. I'm telling you where things are going. But see, the whole thing is that when God was saying, hey, the new regime is coming in, or the old regime's going out, that most people were scared of what was going on. You know, most people were scared of all the threats. You'll find, when you're talking about spirits here, when you find a people that's held captive, listen to what they're saying. You'll hear things like, if it's a Jezebel spirit, you know, an Ahab-type spirit, that they're actually saying fearful things. They're threatening. They're doing all this different kind of stuff. And it's not them, but it's what's got them. You know what I'm saying? And you'll actually hear it across a whole community or a whole, I mean, you're hearing it come from Washington, D.C., that we're being threatened. Fear is being promulgated, you know, and you got to do this or, you know, type thing. And it fears people into following the wrong thing. But with that, you know, God changes the regime. I mean, think about Israel, Ahab, and Jezebel, that actually Ahab was supposed to be over Israel, and he was chosen by God to be over it. He let his wife lead him astray. Because he married Jezebel. And although the name Jezebel seems like a lot of, you know, luggage with that, that was her name. It was like her name would be
Sue. Mary.
Sue, yeah. I was even being careful with that. I took one of our notes, he's talking about me. And so, you know, everybody has some name. And so that was his wife's name. And so he started following his wife instead of following the Lord. And let me tell you right now, I'll just tell you up front right now that the spirit in the land is you have parents following children, you know, husbands following wives, shepherds following sheep, and it's all upside down. You have teachers following students. You have law enforcement following the people. You have authority. Right. You have judge. I mean, it's just upside down. Mm. It's upside down from way God. And so, and now it's even accepted. It's like, what's the big deal about that? Let me explain to you the big deal. It ain't God.
Right.
Mm. And it is a way. It's a philosophy. It's a concept. But it's a shame for you to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. That there's order to things. There's order to things and how God does it. And that order was so bad that God said, I regretted the day that I ever chose Ahab to be king. He says, because, two things, you let your wife lead you astray. And second part was, you did not abide with me. You didn't seek me. You didn't inquire of me. Well, David, he made all kinds of mistakes, second into the second king, but he abided. He found That's out right. if he was wrong, he found out in his abiding times. Like,
he sought the Lord.
He sought the Lord, you know. And when I talk about abiding, I'm talking about, you know, sometimes your abiding experience when you're hanging out with God, it's like, man, you're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. And another abiding experience is like, what in the world are you doing? You know, and a father corrects.
Yeah,
that's right.
He does.
And so, you know, that's abiding with God. He truly can have, and you truly can have a personal relationship with God. Acts 17 says specifically, he designed everything. Mm-hmm. He holds everything together in Colossians, but back to Acts 17, then he says he did all this and chose your address and everything around you to see if you would reach out and acknowledge exactly what I'm talking about, that you that's can right. have a personal relationship with him, though he's not far from you. And the only way the church can really be the church, if we let Jesus be the Lord of the church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So getting back to the original intent of the church, and this is so exciting. It's sort of like saying, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, right, going, you're saying this. Really? Oh my goodness, you mean all this stuff that God's had in my heart, you know, that I remember, I was just talking to somebody recently, and they're in a traditional, you know, expression, you know, mm-hmm. of they attend, you know, basically at a building, and it's chaotic there. It's totally chaotic. Sure. And the leader has fallen, you know, mm-hmm. in the situation. But when you're alone, let me tell you something. When you're alone, right. it's not will you fall, it's when you fall and how will you fall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be alone, you know, and you want to be with family. You want to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And everybody's not a brother and sister, you know. Right. And but he felt, I mean, all this time he's been there helping as an assistant, you know, to that situation. And he didn't feel it was okay for him to pray for people.
To pray.
And the thing is, we got to go back and remember. If we forget what it was like, you know, when God first called us to do, you know, what we're doing, that it was a whole different mindset. Because right. if anybody was traditionalist, I mean, we were traditionalists. We loved the church. I mean, anywhere the church was gathering, that's what we wanted to do. You know, I actually started and founded and led a traditional church expression, and quickly I learned that you know, how they're supposed to operate according to men's philosophies and traditions. No matter how much you expected people to do what they heard, there was just a whole bunch of here. Going on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but with that, we learned also with that, it's, you know, when you follow God, you set your hand to the plow, you don't look back.
Right.
And the Great Commission, the great expectation of God, is not a great suggestion. I mean, that's for all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we found out that the fear of the Lord came upon us. I mean, we have so many stories about the fear of God that you don't have to. I mean, God holds this church together. You don't need fences
That's
if you
right.
have the fear of God. But if you don't have a fear of God, stay in that corral, on that fence. I don't care what kind of, it's a stucco fence,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a shopping center fence, mm-hmm. because you're going to be devoured outside of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord restrains you and keeps you. But we saw, you know, people that just said, oh, you know, I was, listen to this. Oh, we don't have a lot of time. You got to continue with us on these original intents of the church. We've got so many things to tell you about. We've seen miracles. We've seen tragedy. We've seen those that try to come against what God's doing, you know, literally fall to their knees choking for 4 hours because they could not stand in the presence of God. We've seen people fall to their seat and begin to cry out, even though they were tending a leadership position in a traditional large mega church mm-hmm. expression, and they were telling us how to do it, that they, and we were just loving God, and God's presence showed up he fell to the to his chair. He began to scream out and cry out, you know, and said, mm-hmm. I've sinned. I'm a sinner, because the presence of God fixes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He fixes everything. As you know, as firemen put out fire,
right?
That the presence of God puts out sin. It deals with sin. It's very powerful.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.